It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, some of the state's heaviest heavy metal music, literally, at the top of a famous bell tower.
First, we're taking another look at right-to-work legislation here in Wisconsin.
Republican lawmakers have called an extraordinary session of the state legislature to open the debate on right-to-work legislation in Wisconsin. If passed, the bill would prohibit employers and unions from reaching labor deals that require workers to pay fees to the union. Because of their strong majority, Republicans are expected to have the votes in both the Assembly and the Senate to pass the bill, which could put it on the governor's desk in a matter of weeks. Governor Walker has said he would sign the bill, which would make it effective more or less immediately.
Michael Hicks is here to talk about how right-to-work legislation might affect Wisconsin's economy based on how similar bills have changed things for other states. Michael Hicks is an economist at Ball State University. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
Well, neighboring states have passed similar right-to-work legislation, such as Wisconsin is considering. Overall, how has this change affected those states' economies?
Well, the most two recent changes have been in 2012, early in the year, Indiana, late in the year, Michigan, and there has not at this point, now we're really two plus years into it, been any statistically discernible effect on wages or employment or manufacturing investment. So I think it's fair to say that even the proponents would say 2 years is a bit early to see sort of effects one way or the other.
Opponents of right-to-work legislation say that the legislation has the effect of suppressing workers. Is there any evidence that you've seen to that effect?
Well, I mean, certainly the abundant research on right-to-work over the past 30 years has suggested that post-right-to-work, there tends to be less unionization, whether that's a suppression or simply workers selecting not to participate. I don't think there's anything that economists have to add on that, just simply fewer workers are paying dues and participating, but doesn't appear to be suppression necessarily.
Are wages lower?
Not after right to work is passed, and that's sort of the difficult empirical challenge. If you compare wages in right to work to non-right to work states, they are certainly lower in the right to work states. Think about the old southern states, Mississippi through Louisiana and Mississippi through Virginia and some southwestern states. They're also less manufacturing intensive. And so when you hear opponents of minimum wage say wages are lower in right-to-work states, that's absolutely correct. At the same time, employment and population growth in those states have been higher, but it's not clear that right-to-work played a role in either of those two conditions.
Well, looking specifically at Michigan, another Great Lakes state that's been part of the old Rust Belt, are there any takeaways? You said it's perhaps a little too early to be drawing conclusions, but have you seen any indicators about how right to work is working as a signature of what might happen for Wisconsin?
No, I think what you see in both Michigan and I think more in Indiana are indicative of what you would see in Wisconsin. That is, 2 years is too early to see any important effects. And that's a very unsatisfactory answer, but the fact is that business location decisions and expansion decisions are usually telegraphed a long ways off. And so businesses are thinking 2, 3, 4 years down the road about expansion or contraction. And so even with right to work passing in Indiana just about this time 3 years ago, it's too early to see any sort of uptick that you can conclusively say is linked to that legislation. It's not background noise. And so I think for Wisconsin, you would be expecting the same sort of thing. That said, both Michigan and Indiana have done well in manufacturing employment the past couple of years, but tying that directly to right to work, I think, is a bit of a stretch.
Now, supporters of right to work say that it increases the number of jobs. Any evidence to that effect?
The simple data is that in right to work states have seen more rapid employment growth over the past 50, 60 years since the Taft-Hartley Act of 1947. But most of those states were in the Sun Belt. There are the old Confederacy states, the desert Southwest, and those places have been growing for a variety of reasons, not least of which is the invention of air conditioning. And so you know, there are studies, include some that I have authored, that suggest that there is some modest effect of right to work, but it sort of peaked in the 1970s and 1980s when there was an awful lot of labor disturbance, and that the effect has waned since then.
Given what you've laid out for us so far, is it fair to say that maybe both sides of this right to work debate overstate the influence of the law?
Yeah, you know, I think that is the unavoidable conclusion. It's not much ado about nothing, but it certainly doesn't carry with it the huge economic ramifications that one would suppose. Unions in many places have done very well after right to work, there are certainly some examples of businesses claiming that right to work made a difference in their location decision. But in terms of having sort of scientific proof that this is the case, there's just not that sort of conclusion yet. And I think that it's interesting that there had been such hard-fought fights in Indiana and Michigan and now in Wisconsin over something that ultimately is going to be less important than how well-educated their workforce is and how good communities are in terms of attracting more population and what the overall tax rates are in terms of making the economies in these states better.
Right. Let's talk a little bit more about that. Each state comes with its own collection of variables, its own business climate. How does Wisconsin look against other states who have adopted right to work in terms of some of those outside variables that could affect the outcome?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. Obviously, Wisconsin has spent more time than, say, Michigan or Indiana in, you know, really focusing on community improvement. So the sort of quality of place that matters a lot more, and particularly residential location decision, seems to favor parts of Wisconsin, although I would say that's certainly not universally true. There are great parts of Indiana and Michigan. The one thing that strikes me as difference between the three states and is Wisconsin, just as a state and as municipalities, is carrying little or no debt. And so one of the important features of right to work is that it may weaken public sector unions, which have, particularly in places like Illinois, and in Detroit, have helped contribute enormously to the unfunded liabilities, the enormous debt that those cities have carried, are not nearly the role in Wisconsin. So Wisconsin would emerge from this right-to-work debate as a place that doesn't need enormous adjustment in terms of its debt profile like Detroit needed when it went bankrupt, or the state of Illinois and certainly the municipality of Chicago require.
Now, looking at the state as a whole again, from a business climate perspective, do you have any projections about how right to work could affect businesses coming into the state or, I don't know, leaving the state?
Well, I mean, for a business that's really worried about a union environment, this would help. But at the end of the day, that is only going to play one element of the decision. Businesses are going to worry, I think, first and foremost, can I get the workers that I need? And so more municipal places in Wisconsin, Madison, Milwaukee are going to always be struggling to make sure that even if they're a large population, they have the right types of workers that businesses need. Smaller, medium-sized towns are going to continue to be good places for manufacturing, and that tends to be, you know, the higher share of unionized workers. And I think Wisconsin does pretty well in that. To be candid, I think Wisconsin's economic future looks fairly bright with or without right to work.
Historically speaking, the Midwest is among the regions most accommodating to unions in the United States. Do you think that the increase of right-to-work legislation in this area, but specifically in Wisconsin, means something larger for the function of unions in our nation's economy?
Right, it does. I mean, there's been almost no social or cultural movement that has collapsed as quickly as the American labor movement. You know, I graduated from high school in 1980. About one in three workers were union workers, and now it's about 7% of private sector workers. It's just been astonishing. And I think what we have seen is manufacturing, which was the place where the American labor movement manufacturing transportation really took off, is much leaner, much more capital intensive, much better trained workers who I think view typically their advancement as a product of their individual achievement, not a class movement. In contrast, the union movement now is majority made up of public sector employees. And I can name, you know, a number of folks, including some union representatives here in Indiana, who are, you know, very supportive of private sector unions, but are having difficulty with the public sector union dynamic, as particularly with its unfunded liabilities issues. And since that hasn't really been a major problem for Wisconsin, it's kind of interesting to see this playing itself out there when you would expect it more in Illinois, for example.
Well, Michael, thank you for joining us.
Good to be with you.
That was Michael Hicks, economist at Ball State University. He was with us to talk about the economics of right-to-work legislation.